Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Hello, and welcome to a True Romance mini episode, Bachelor Edition. I am, of course, joined by Devin Leary.
Tis I.
Devin, say hi to the listeners.
Hello out there.
So I'm in a good mood because it is Fantasy Suites, which is actually one of my favorite parts of the Bachelor journey, Bachelor, Bachelorette journey, is when Chris Harrison, this is peak Chris Harrison creepy teacher vibe.
It is, because basically, like, I guess they structured the show, The Bachelor, around what they think the structure of a relationship is. And then they added the layers of Christian values that comes with network television. So they were like, okay, well, normally these people probably would go to the fantasy suite on the first or second night that they meet, go on a date, but they've only collectively spent like 7 total minutes together over the course of a month. And also, like, they shouldn't, you know, send the message of the Antichrist, which is hooking up before marriage. So the night before you go meet Matt's parents or the Bachelor's parents, you go to the fantasy suite, which means you are forced to make the decision, do I have sex with this person or not? And in the scheme of the show, that means 2 nights before they get engaged, they hook up. Or the question is, like, will they hook up or not? I've never seen someone not go to the fantasy suite, but
I have.
You have?
And it's really awkward. I'm like, really wish you would. No, this one really Christian girl made a big to-do about not going to the fantasy suite. And I was like, honestly, you're making this episode really annoying.
Like, why not just go? Why not do the classic middle school thing of, like, when people are like, ooh, like, spin the bottle, 7 minutes in heaven. Go in the closet for 7 minutes in heaven, but don't actually do anything. Like we've seen in every single tween movie that's ever happened. It's like they go in and they're like, oh, sorry, I'm really nervous. Like, can we just talk? And then they become like really best friends. And then,
oh, that's a good point.
They eventually get together. Like, just do that. Because also, wouldn't it be nice after you're living in this weird, like, Pennsylvania Dutch inn to just have one night in the fantasy suite? Also, why is Matt's house like the nicest, most beautiful mansion I've ever seen? And then the women are at this weird, like,
the Marriott,
like Dutch Marriott. Carolina, why?
A few things. I messed up on TripAdvisor.
She fucked it up. You can't do TripAdvisor. You got to do Expedia.com.
We're considering you as a sponsor, Expedia. You're welcome anytime. So the weird part is that Chris Harrison writes them a letter.
Yes.
That they read to each other at dinner, being like,
should you forego? That's what it says. Is should you choose to forego your own room?
It is so disgusting. I mean, I know that we have been spending each mini episode shitting on Chris Harrison, but I would like to add that in the opening of this episode, first of all, every morning, this guy, like, chugs bleach and rinses his mouth with it so his teeth like like glisten, and then rubs Nivea tinted lotion all over his face.
He Jergens natural glows his cheeks.
Absolutely. The way he was talking to the women, it was like he was explaining what sex was. He was like, and then you will get the opportunity to join Matt in the fantasy suites where you will get a chance to get closer. It would have literally been less creepy if he had been like, you're gonna have sex with Matt this date, if that sounds interesting to you guys.
It would have been less creepy if he was like, so men and boys have a penis and two, sometimes one, testicles. Women and girls have a vagina
and a labia
and a vulva.
Say it with me.
And those two things come together with the reproductive function of forming a human life.
And that's really what this episode's about.
Inside the butt.
And at one point he says, it's going to be a really romantic day. And yes, there will be overnight dates. And at this point, like, I feel like after 25 seasons of The Bachelor, we're just done with like pretense around the fantasy suites. There's no, literally his, Matt's note to Michelle was, Michelle, it's time to get even closer. I was like, just say like, come to my hotel room. It's number 1607. Text me when you're here.
Yeah. He should have just said like, Michelle, tonight is the night where we find out if the goods work. And if they do, then like, I can finally make a decision if your personality and stunning beauty is enough.
I am obsessed with Michelle. I obviously am rooting for her. I got nervous because I don't want Miss Young's students to see, to keep watching the show they were on.
So Michelle gets the first one-on-one date, and Rachel actively looks like she is plotting a murder. Like, she is like, okay, this is the day where my psychopathy turns into violence and I can never turn back. She looks so angry. And meanwhile, Michelle is like, I have no idea what this date's going to be. Like, what could it possibly be? What's going to happen? Again, you know what it's going to be.
I think that Rachel is peak sexy baby this episode.
Totally.
She has a lot of pouted lip. And when Michelle goes on her one-on-one fantasy suite date, Rachel goes, "My feels like my heart is exploding."
She says it exactly like, like that. She really does.
My heart is exploding.
My heart go boom, boom. Because I said, that's because I said.
That's exactly what she said.
So before this episode turns into a series of softcore porns that I would watch on late night Showtime because they didn't really show the real thing, Matt's like, I have to have one conversation. That's with my dad. Again, it's like when the girl wouldn't have sex in Pilot Pete's episode. I was like, no, 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 I'm not here for this right now.
Yeah.
Like, we actually are past, we're either past or about to go into dramatic family moments. And both me and Matt's dad were so annoyed in this conversation. Matt was like trying to force something. He was like, I need to talk to you before I go on this new part of my life. And his dad was like, wait, what? Like, why are you bringing this up right now? You can talk to me about this anytime. I was so annoyed. And at one point, his dad was like, just, you know, so you can have fun. He was like, fun? Dad, this isn't like going to Chuck E. Cheese. This is a journey, okay? Like, fun? I don't want to have sex with three women three nights in a row. You think that's fun for me, Dad? No, this is a journey.
Yeah. He also said a really controversial statement that is still really haunting my brain, which is, I don't need pizza, or I didn't need pizza. And I was like,
he said, my dad dropped off pizza for me. I didn't need pizza. And my first thought was, I was like, that dad sounds awesome.
I was like,
he gave you guys pizza?
Okay, like, even if it's not awesome, like, even if the dad's not awesome, you did need pizza. Like, factually, people need pizza. So at the time, you needed pizza. You needed air to breathe. You needed water. You also needed a dad and you didn't have one. And that was horribly fucked up. And I do think that Matt was all millennials talking to their boomer parents when he was like, so you would be fine if your daughter like was with someone who cheated? And the boomer parent is like, yeah, you know, like that. You're like, wait, so I feel like everyone has those arguments with your parents where you're like, okay, so if this happened to me, you'd be okay with it. And they're like, yeah. And you're like, no, you wouldn't.
I think that he should have brought his dad to every one-on-one date because he brought it up every time, like, hey, I talked to my dad.
It was his
test. And I was like, just bring your dad along.
I know. It was like his test was, he was like, okay, so I talked to my dad. And now I'm going to bring it up on every date and see how people respond, which I was like, wait, did you just talk to your dad so you would have something to talk about on the dates?
Well, it's also funny because I feel like when anyone does date me, they end up spending a lot of time with my mom because I'm always around my mom. So I'm like, why don't we just make this a part of The Bachelor and be like, hey, so for our one-on-one, we're going to go to the mall. Oh, also, my mom's going to meet up with us later today.
That would be amazing.
Like, oh, for our one-on-one, we're going to go out to a beautiful dinner. My mom's cooking it. I think that this is also a point in the show where the Bachelor can't, Matt in this case, can't really say I love you back to these girls. Once in a while, the Bachelor, Bachelorette chooses a girl to give I love you to. But it's all about the girls saying I love you to him and him saying, thank you for sharing that with me. You have no idea how good it is to hear you say that. And if it were me and I was saying I love you to a guy and he wasn't saying it back to me, I wouldn't necessarily be in the mood to hook up. I would, in fact, be crying in the bathroom saying 1 minute while texting Devin.
I know. It's also his other move is to just kiss them when they say it, in which case I would like immediately pull away and be like, excuse me? Hello?
We seem to have a problem. Are you mute? While I was watching this episode, Michelle, who is, you know, I think the fans' favorite, at least she's very much the contestant I'm rooting for, her morning after outfit was like so cute and such a girl's morning after outfit, like a hoodie, a jean jacket over it, and sweatpants. And watching it, I realized, Devin, that you dress every day like it's the morning after a one night stand.
Wait, in what sense?
In the sense that you're always in comfortable pants. Look what you're wearing right now. You're in a hoodie. You're always wearing a shirt that looks like someone's extra shirt, but it's actually a shirt you love. Like a shirt with a wolf on it. Yeah. Or a shirt.
I will say one morning after a one night stand, which wasn't even a one night stand because I actually just got really drunk and passed out at this guy's house and slept on his bed, and I think he slept on the floor or something. So it wasn't really
those are the best one night stands. We're like, so it wasn't a one night stand because he wouldn't hook up with me, but I wouldn't leave.
It was just like I slept on someone's bed against their will and they slept on the floor. And so the next morning I'm like, wake up, walking away from this house, walking back towards campus, and I'm like, oh fuck, I forgot last night was like some sort of rave themed thing. Like I had like glow stick paint all over me and like neon paint all over my clothes. I'm wearing like a sheer top and like clearly like makeup smeared all over my face, like definitely one night stand, which I would love, by the way, if a Bachelorette contestant like the next morning just looked total shit. That's what I looked like. And suddenly I see all these parents and like these tours. And I was like, wait, what? No, and then I realized it was parents' weekend.
Yeah.
And I was like, good morning, good morning. It's fun to stay up late. Good morning to you.
To you and you and you. On parents' weekend at my school freshman year, I woke up on the lawn and I was with a blanket and I looked up and I was meeting people's parents while prostrate, like while like completely lying down on the lawn, and they said, this is Carolina, and I said, another day of sun, dun, 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 dun,
dun. I would love if you just like looked up from your blanket and said 525,600 minutes. Okay, so that was Carolina and I's morning after experiences, which doesn't match quite up with looking perfect in a simple hoodie, jean jacket, ensemble.
It also, though, reminds me of an idea I had, or at least a frustration I have with The Bachelor, Bachelorette. Everyone's like, that was amazing. I could get used to this, waking up like this every morning. No one is ever like, okay, she was a freak.
Right.
That was insane. I did stuff that I've never done before, and I don't know if I want to do it again. I don't know if I can date this girl. I think she's sick. She's a sick fuck.
I would love if Matt just leaves the bedroom, like limping, and he's like, I don't have words to describe what that was. I don't know.
I would love.
I don't know if I liked it, but I know I didn't hate it.
I would love to be a contestant on The Bachelor and leave my one-on-one just wearing a collar and a leash.
Just wearing like the perfectly done up outfit and then accidentally forgot the collar and leash and like, fuck, I fucking knew I would fuck this up somehow. Fuck, I'm so stupid.
I go back to the girls and they're all sitting on the couch and I take off my latex mask.
And you're like, okay.
Another one in the books, ladies. Like, he's all okay, yours.
I'm going to have to call my therapist. I told her that I was going to change these patterns. I haven't been journaling. It's a long story, but basically, good luck. And there's still some Viagra left at the mansion.
I'm doing the artist's way. So this is just a part of the process. No, I feel like it's like all those people, all those girls who are like, my guard is up. Because it's only been like 2 days. I don't know him. He met my mom, but my heart is guarded and I've just always guarded. And it's like, once you let down that guard, I will be a freak.
I will like, be I will a freak.
Lose my
Wait,
mind.
Off of what you just said, I would love if a girl wakes up in the, like they show the actual bedroom the next morning and it's like there's condoms everywhere. There's collar, there's leash, there's anal beads, there's like golden shower stains, there's everything, and the
there's like four chickens,
there's
four live
there's
chickens.
Live chickens, there's a head cut off chicken that's still walking, and the girl like sits up and she's like, oh my god. The producer's like, what, oh my god, are you okay? And she's like, I forgot to do my morning pages. I knew something was off with me last night. I ruined my one chance with Matt because I didn't do my morning pages on the one night of the one-on-one. And that is my ad for The Artist's Way. Please use code romance at checkout of The Artist's Way.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Anyway,
Matt yelling Michelle's name out the window while she was walking away from their date was really cute.
Okay, I think he's like the cutest and most comfortable with
her. No, I think he's so cute. No, he is. I also just think he's really hot.
He's so hot, yeah. Aside from the skinny jeans.
Oh, does he wear skinny jeans? I did not know
this. He really bizarrely wears Love Island skinny jeans.
Interesting. I also think it mimics dating in real life when before you go to the fantasy suite, you have to hear a man do a monologue on his personal life while you just nod and listen.
I know. And then you say, like, thank you.
And you're like, can we have sex now? I love that you told me that. So is Chris Harrison going to write us a note or
so
to you? Or?
Where is Chris Harrison's famous Sharpie etchings that we get at this point? No, but I did think that Michelle had like a genuine, compared to all the responses to the exact same canned statement that Matt made about his dad, Michelle did have the most genuine response, which was like, you bring, like, I know it might seem like my parents being together and having this amazing love story is like something that I have and you lack, but you actually have like your own experience that you bring to the table that's like completely unique that I don't have. And she was just like so supportive and understanding, which...
No, she glows. She truly glows. Yes. She's just a beautiful person inside and out. And you can see that. And I love what she said about like it's not everyone makes an emphasis on falling in love when it's really about staying in love. How are you going to remind that person that you're thinking of them?
That was beautiful.
I thought that was perfectly put. I love that she was the first because she got to waltz back in and see Bree and Rachel. And Rachel's date, first of all, again, pouty baby. Rachel was the third one.
She basically saw Matt. I get to see my Matt today, and he go spend the day with these other girls. I miss you. I miss you a lot. It was really hot.
It's hot.
She basically had that conversation. The funniest part, though, is that she's like a mess. She's like about to have a mental breakdown.
Okay, but I didn't see any actual saline tears, okay? I saw just perfect foundation without a single streak in it, and she's like...
I just love that she had to do ceramics. Like when you're in a bad mood and you're there, you have to go to do something like that. It's the worst feeling ever.
Wait, can I just say though, like, okay, so when Michelle went on her date, Rachel was devastated, even though she knew all along and for the past 25 years that she's been watching this show, she's seen that this is the process. They all get a one-on-one, but she acts like she's never heard of it before.
Literally since she's been 5 years
literally
old.
Literally since she was in the womb, this has been the process. And she is like stunned by it. And she's like, this isn't fair. Like other women are with... I'm like, wait, you just realized he's dating other women? Like, how? Anyway, I guess it's the concussion. But anyway, so then when Bree went on her one-on-one, Rachel did the same like complaints to Michelle, and Michelle just like fully dissociates and stares off into space while Rachel's talking, like does not respond at all. Rachel's like, it's just like really fucked up because it's like, I just can't believe that like he's with someone else and I have these feelings. And Michelle is just like fully spaced out, not even hearing her. Like, I can't listen to this girl complain one more second.
I love when Rachel is confronting Matt about it and she's like, I just can't lose you. Matt literally goes, gulp. Like, he gulps. So he's so scared of her. She's so crazy. She's full crazy girl vibes.
That's what scares me, is that I think him and Michelle have like a real connection, but if he has like this damage from his past still that he just dealt with for the first time apparently today, so like clearly has not healed from, he might choose like the lightning in a bottle thing like we talked about on the Obama's Other Daughters episode. He might choose this spark craziness because he is seeking something toxic, which is not good. But and I mean, Bree was a contender also, but she clearly just...
I liked Bree. What he told Rachel to comfort her, he said, I went to a dark place when I saw you fall out of the plane.
I know, I was like, really?
The crowd. And then he said, when I saw you laying there, I wanted you to feel okay. I'm like, oh, you didn't want her dead?
You wanted her to not...
That's not love.
...be permanently damaged from this? Well, you didn't get what you wanted because she doesn't even know what state she's in. So, no. So anyway, so she's like a total like brat the whole ceramics day. But meanwhile, the ceramics instructor kept making like metaphors about relationships. Like she's like, okay, so when you're trying to make a pot happen, like sometimes there's challenges. You try to make the ceramics come together, but you don't know what you're going to get. So when they went, then suddenly Rachel's like, I need to talk to Matt because I'm just not going to be able to focus on this and I need to talk to him. But I just imagined the ceramics instructor was just still in the room by herself being like, and a lot of times, you know, when the fire's not there, the pot just doesn't come together the way it's supposed to. And that's just the way it goes.
So it's Michelle, right? We're rooting for Michelle.
Yes.
I legitimately thought you froze.
No.
You know another thing that they don't do, I don't think they've ever done in a fantasy suite, is send someone home the next morning in bed.
I think they have done that.
Really? In bed saying, I don't think this is going to work?
Well, actually, no. I think they've done it like when the fantasy suite like card comes. They've been like, actually, I don't think this.
No, I mean like you're like shirts off.
The chicken with the head cut off is running around. The leash and the collar is there. The sex swing.
You
the
have
sex
your collar is broken. On. They're walking around on your hands and knees. You're drinking from a dog water bowl.
Yes.
And they're like, this just wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And you're not allowed to use words because like the role plays that you're a dog, right? So you're like,
woof. Can I get a woof? Am I right?
Oh my God. I would just love them to be like, this whole ride's been crazy, but like, I'm actually not looking for anything serious right now.
Yeah, the way it really is.
Do you have the Uber app, or do you want me to show you how to use it, or I can download it for you on your phone? You can use mine, but do you have a card that I could put into my app to send you home?
That has literally happened to me before, where I was like lovingly like laying in bed with this guy, all the OxyContin was like flowing through my system, and I was like, wait, is this something? Like
your latex mask is,
yeah,
on.
And I couldn't see because my latex mask was too small, but I was like, this feels like it could grow into something. And the guy was literally like, so should I get you an Uber? And I was like, so you're not gonna be my boyfriend and meet my mom and dad? Okay,
so your guard is
up.
Well, you know what's on my heart right now?
I was like, I have the perfect plan for this. Okay, so you call your dad, who you haven't spoken to in years. He comes here, you talk to him about pizza and Chuck E. Cheese, then we go on a date. I say that you bring your own thing to the table. No, I just want to say that I wrote in my notes for some reason I wrote also like, is Rachel a graphic designer? Because I'm just saying, like, she's 24. Like,
she's probably a graphic designer like you are when you design.
Like, does she like, just do
our heads on Claire Crawley's body?
Does she just do the mini episode like, Photoshop like I do, where I don't know how to color match? So I just put Carolina and I's like paper Xerox white pale faces onto the tanned bodies of JoJo Fletcher and Claire Crawley, because that's not graphic design.
Yes.
And I would know because I tried to put it on my LinkedIn profile and I got rejected by the LinkedIn gods. So I would know.
That is it for our mini episode. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will have another one for you next week. Love you, Devin.
Okay, love you.
Go Michelle.
Go Michelle.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.